Welcome to Women Worth Knowing, the radio program and podcast hosted by Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn.
Hello, listeners. I'm sorry it's just me, but you will not be disappointed, even though you're going to miss Robin on this episode, because you are going to fall in love with my guest, Pam. I know I have. Pam Clark. She serves with a ministry called Protect Our Daughters. And so far, we've had part one and part two. Part one, she told us about her varied and exciting and interesting and fascinating childhood as she grew up, one of eight children.
Seven
children. Seven, I should know that. It's a perfect number. One of seven children, number six. I got that one.
Yep.
And growing up, because her father was in the Red Cross, growing up in Germany, England, and getting to know other cultures, moving back to the United States in the 60s, where crazy things were happening. And we got her perspective on that. But how God was, even during those times, wooing and bringing Pam to himself. And after she discovered the Lord, after he met her where she was at in all her failure, he began to turn her life around and give her direction. So when we left Pam, or when she, you know, was telling us towards the end of last week's program, she was sharing with us about how by now she's become a counselor, a certified counselor, and she's gone on a missions trip to Rwanda for 2 weeks. And it was her story that began to minister to these young girls. And these young girls, it's a Me Too movement, mm-hmm. so to speak, mm-hmm. that they said, we're not the only ones.
Yeah, exactly.
And we're not forgotten.
Yeah.
You know, Pam, as you were sharing in that last episode, I was thinking about Corrie Ten Boom, mm-hmm. who went to an all-African prison. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, she was surrounded, and these men were a little bit aggressive. Mm-hmm. And she began to tell them about what it was to be imprisoned at Ravensbrück.
Mm-hmm.
And as she told her story, mm-hmm. these men began to cry and their hearts were melted and they fell in love with Corrie.
Uh-huh.
Just like these young women that you're ministering to
yeah.
in Kenya
yeah.
begin to melt. So that's where we were. I want to pick up right there.
Okay.
Because this is just a 2 week mission trip. So what is this, week one? Is this week two?
It was week one. It was
week one.
Pretty quickly.
And you're out in the field.
Yep.
And you're sharing with these young women
yep,
who've
yep.
come, 50 women.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. From all over. And many of them are walking with babies on their back or, you know, mm-hmm. wrapped around them. And one interesting thing, as I shared the story about meeting and talking with them about Berlin, one woman at the end of that day came up to me and thanked me and said goodbye. And I said, well, aren't you coming back tomorrow? Because we still had another day. And she said, no, I can't, because I have to go find food
oh.
for my children.
Oh.
And so I daily would keep a little bag of Trader Joe's mixed fruit and nuts in my backpack. And so I, as discreetly as I could, I walked over to my backpack, I picked that up, and I walked over to her. And in that kind of situation, it really requires being very
diplomatic
and subtle
mm-hmm.
So that you don't create animosity and jealousy and tension. So I just slipped it to that lady, and she looked up at me with tears in her eyes. And then the next day I was there, and as we were getting started, this woman was not there. But after about 15 minutes, she wandered into the group and was listening. And so then at the end of that day's talk, I asked a bit, you know, how she was doing. And through the interpreter, she told me that that, like, sandwich-size baggie of dried nuts and fruits were enough food for her and her children for a week.
No.
Oh. I felt God really, like, piercing my heart.
Right.
And what what I felt was a sense of share God's love and God's message and verbally and tangibly. So I started searching and looking for what can I do tangibly. Mm-hmm. And that was really the birth of a goat project that mm-hmm. I started in Rwanda, working with a group of pastors. And we developed to be about 23, 24 churches that were part of this goat project. And it was structured so that everyone who got a goat.
And we're talking about the animal.
Yes.
Not the greatest of all time.
No.
We're talking about real goats, which is interesting because I have a friend who was involved in Cuba with a donkey program or burro, a burro program. Yeah. So this is so interesting. Yeah. So goats, because goats have milk.
Well, in this case, these were goats that were more for meat.
Meat. Oh, yeah. But
the focus and what we were attempting to provide and convey is take care of your goat, multiply it. So every church that received goats, the people would receive females and a male goat would be given as well. Mm-hmm. And really looking to help them understand, take and use. Mm-hmm. You know, take care of the goat, protect it, let it multiply so that then you can start to not only benefit yourself, but your community, your friends, your neighbors. Mm-hmm. And that happened. That really developed.
Now, you know, I love this because, you know, just years before, Pam, mm-hmm. you were destitute.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you didn't even have enough money to pay your tuition to, you know, further your education.
Yep.
And now, you know, here you go, just like, Lord, use me.
Yeah.
And you're able to help these churches, again, in a tangible way. This is just a God thing.
It is a God thing. It is a God thing. And then at the end of this 2-week mission trip, the man that was the coordinator, logistical coordinator in Rwanda, approached me and said, would I come back and help him develop an organization? And I felt kind of excited, kind of flattered, but like, I don't know how to develop an organization. And it's scary. It's kind of a volatile
so
area.
Scary. Mm-hmm.
And so one morning I got up early before everybody was up and I was wandering around the compound and I was singing and I was talking to God. I was like, what do you want me to do? And I felt God putting in my heart, it's okay to be scared.
Mm.
It's all right to feel that. It's okay. And Pam, it's okay to feel inadequate.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are.
Mm-hmm.
Do it anyway.
Wow.
Because it's not you.
That's right.
It's me.
He's sufficient.
And so that was it, you know, and I started the goat project. I started teaching in the Bible college that the Owades ran in. They were missionaries. They were mm-hmm. Kenyan, but they were missionaries in Rwanda.
So when did you go back?
Right now, so it's been 19 years,
mm-hmm.
and I have been back 15 times.
Okay. So you go about once a year then almost?
Now I'm going twice a year.
Wow.
Yeah. While I was on staff at North Coast Church, I was part of the counseling team. I was also the women's director of a single adult ministry.
Excellent.
So my flexibility to travel was more restricted.
Limited.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So that's why there were some years where I didn't go as frequently, mm-hmm. but continued.
And how long would you stay during those?
Yeah. Typically, most of the trips are in that just under 2 weeks.
Okay.
Sometimes
mm-hmm.
a little bit longer. But mm-hmm. that's,
you know, I love this because, you know, some people would say, oh, no, you need 6 months or you need a full, 3 years. Or mm-hmm. we're always putting time constraints, saying this is how God works. We're always mm-hmm. putting God in a box, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
Saying you've
mm-hmm.
got to do it this way. You've got to use, this much time.
Yeah.
But I love it. And, you have to be in this place. And here you are.
Yeah.
In San Marcos, which is not a well-known place. I know because I lived in Vista, which is also not a well-known place.
Yeah, yeah.
And so here you are in this place, and God is using you in Kenya, Africa,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, with these goats, and you're doing things you've never done before.
Yep, yep. And so the goat project was in Rwanda, and it stayed.
Okay.
So as
that's right, heard Rwanda.
Yeah, as the Owades
yes.
transitioned
mm-hmm.
back to their home country, I then looked at shifting the goat project to be governed by the group of pastors.
Excellent. Mm-hmm.
And working with helping the Owades develop a ministry and their church mm-hmm. in Kenya. And so then COVID hit, different challenges were happening. And but we stayed in contact. And so one of the things I want to just highlight is that what I also felt in my sense from God is short-term missions. Often people will go to one country and then to another country, and it's like they're hopping mm-hmm. around. I felt invest in one country,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
invest in relationships,
mm-hmm.
get to know people. And so the Owades and I continued to work together, and I taught counseling concepts at their Bible college. I ran the GOAT project. I worked with them in that way and really developing trust
mm-hmm.
and familiarity and relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And so now here we are in the early 2020s, and COVID is hitting, and they are trying to build a church and get established. And one of the first weekends that they were allowed to open the doors as a church, they were getting approached by girls and women telling them that what was happening is that prior to COVID, the governments and nonprofits, NGOs, were providing sanitary supplies
mm-hmm.
for girls. But as a result of COVID, the funding stopped. All, you know, across the globe, I think, economies, governments
mm-hmm.
were really hit.
Mm-hmm.
And so that funding stopped. And what developed is that these mainly young girls, could be as young as 12,
mm-hmm.
Not having supplies, feeling desperate.
Mm-hmm.
And boys and men were offering to provide sanitary supplies in exchange for sex.
Oh.
And, you know, as a Westerner,
mm-hmm.
I think we can look and say, well, why would you ever agree
mm-hmm.
to that?
Mm-hmm.
But what I want people to understand is that in Kenya, girl children are not considered full people.
Mm.
And so they are raised with a mindset, with a sense of be quiet, do what you're told,
mm-hmm.
be compliant.
Mm.
And then add to that, that also in Kenya, and these are things that are changing, they
mm-hmm.
truly are, it has been forbidden to talk with girls about sex, to provide information. So you have this kind
They're unprepared for everything.
Right. You know, it's like a perfect storm where
right.
they're desperate, they don't have a sense of self, and they don't know much about it.
Mm-hmm.
And they long for being sought after, being wanted, which all of us do.
Right.
So in that first 7 months after COVID started, the government confirmed that over 100,000 schoolgirls were impregnated.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
And so the impact,
right,
you know, of girls' dreams, girls' hopes,
right,
girls' sense of self.
Their education, right.
Yes. And also what was happening with girls not having a means of any kind of sanitary supplies is they would stay home.
Mm-hmm.
So they'd be missing a week of school every month. Plus, if they're staying home, they're probably alone and they're more vulnerable to somebody coming and taking advantage of them.
Oh.
So all of those factors together. So Susan contacted me immediately telling me about this, and she and I decided, let's start a sewing class.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have the sewing class learning approach start with making washable, reusable pads.
Mm-hmm.
Susan found a pattern. She started making them. She started asking, you know, people
right.
if they needed
right.
help. So the very first meeting was supposed to be 25 people. It was 45 girls
mm.
came. Then Susan was getting invited to go to schools and
mm-hmm.
help. And so here we are today. We started the program end of September of 2020. As of yesterday, we have given out 87,302 pads.
Excellent.
To 44,301 girls.
Mm.
And so what we started doing is packaging two of the washable, reusable pads and liners
mm-hmm.
in a little sack. And then
mm-hmm.
adding, we learned pretty quickly that the girls also didn't have underwear.
Or
it was worn out.
Mm-hmm.
So a new pair of underwear and the pads and would go to schools.
Mm-hmm.
And what we have developed is that when we go to schools, we're being invited
mm.
by the schools, and they're giving us input of what do they want us to talk with the girls about.
Mm-hmm.
So they tell us, and often it's sexuality,
mm-hmm.
menstruation, but abuse,
mm.
self-image,
mm-hmm.
Rejection,
mm.
Early marriage, risks, broken family, learning difficulties, peer pressure. So as a therapist,
as an experienced woman who has been through
yeah.
all of that and yeah. a therapist.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And so
wow.
I started doing that with Susan.
Mm-hmm.
And now what happens is that when I'm not there, Susan goes out to a school each week
mm-hmm.
and speaks and provides pads
mm-hmm.
and the packets. And then we also look to provide some New Testament Bibles available. And each time we're there, as we close, we are sharing about God's word. The whole thing is embedded with
mm-hmm.
God's love, but
mm-hmm.
sharing and inviting them to ask God into their hearts
mm-hmm.
and their lives. And so far, as of, again, this is yesterday's numbers, we have had 19,578 girls pray to accept Christ.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Praise the Lord.
And this school's, the biggest school group that we spoke with was 5,000 girls.
Oh, that's huge.
And the smallest one was about 450.
And they're all worth it. It's just makes
it
no difference.
It
right.
is. And, you know, even as I was contacted and asked
mm-hmm.
about coming to this
podcast, yes.
You know, I thought, women worth knowing. All women are worth knowing.
Exactly. Exactly. And yeah. and these women
yes.
are worth knowing.
Absolutely.
And knowing about.
Yes.
And being
yes.
able to minister. Now, I
yeah.
was on your website
yeah.
doing my due diligence.
Yeah. Thank you.
And I was seeing that some of the, that you've also supplied some sewing machines.
Well, what we did, so we have
mm-hmm.
the sewing classes,
mm-hmm.
and we've had...
And they're in Kenya.
They are in Nairobi, in
okay.
the Iwate's
oh, Nairobi.
Church.
Okay.
And Nairobi is in Kenya.
Right.
It's the capital. And so we have, at this point, we have 16 sewing machines. Women can come, and it's a half-yearly training.
Which is fantastic.
And so mm-hmm. we've raised the support and the
mm-hmm.
funds to provide for the trainer, but also all the supplies, the machines, everything. And that at the end of it, woman gets a certificate. We have a graduation ceremony and looking to help them develop a business so
excellent.
That they've got a means to
excellent.
Provide for themselves. Well,
mm-hmm.
then, just this past summer, we also have added a second level of training in fashion and design. So women who want to go further in their skill set and business potential are doing that. And we're finding that the response is so strong, we're just about to add 6 more machines so that we can have 22 students in the class at a time. And as a result of North Coast Church's generosity, all the people that go there, for Christmas, this past Christmas, one of the Operation Christmas outreach was to raise funds for women who complete the sewing training to be able to earn a sewing machine.
Oh, precious.
So they have a machine. And one thing I think that helps us have a better understanding of that is that most of these women have very little, maybe no education, maybe illiterate. And the income, if they have any kind of income, a typical income is maybe $125 a month.
Oh.
The sewing machine with we have tables made and boxes to store them, and that unit is $200 each. So if you think about that, it becomes almost insurmountable
right.
for a woman. She
right.
may have the skill, but how do I
right.
ever get my own machine
right.
to have a business?
Right.
So North Coast Church helped facilitate that we now have funds to start that process.
You know what I love about this?
Yeah.
Because it allows them to keep their respect.
Yeah.
And it helps them. Because, you know, handouts can be dangerous.
Exactly. And that's something I saw very early on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've seen that, too, in our experience, too, that handouts can be very dangerous. And sometimes that's our solution. We just throw things at them and they can't handle it.
Yep.
It's too much. But there's this level of respect and there's this it's such great training to help them to work for it. So your website, it has so much information.
Mm-hmm.
I love the website. There's
Thank
pictures
yep.
if people want to see what's going on and kind of the response. And it's Protect Our Daughters.
Protecting.
Protecting. Thank you so much. Protecting.
Our Daughters.
Our Daughters.
Yeah.
.com.
Yeah.
And we're going to also, when we put up the blurb about these episodes, we'll also include that, protectingourdaughters.com.
Yes.
But if you don't want to have to wait till the blurb and you want to go there right this very second, and then also on that, I noticed there were places where people could donate.
Absolutely.
Directly to a different parts of, you know, if they were touched by one part of the ministry there or this part, you can actually specify, pray over which part. And it was so little money that you're asking for, but such little amount to us here goes so far there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going again in September, and the pattern is that we're working on that I will go once a year by myself to help with strengthening our team with the Owates, and then once a year I take a team of women. And the focus of, and men, we also want to begin really embracing and speaking to boys and men about.
Excellent. Yes.
It's
a two-way street.
It is.
Yes.
It's all of us.
Right.
And so trying to have people come with me who have that willingness to be vulnerable, to share their story, so that we want to communicate with the girls and the boys as people, not as educators, not coming in telling them what they're doing wrong or what they're doing right.
Or like, we're from the States and we're better, right?
Absolutely
exactly.
not.
And exactly.
Even this last time I was there in February, and in this one school I visited, and I ask if they want to write me a note or a prayer request or a question to do so. Well, there were 450 people in the audience. And when I got back to my hotel room and looked at it, I had 406 notes from that one school.
Wow.
And one of them, a young girl, had given me just as I was walking away, as we were finishing, and I had shared the story about having been abused as a child and what happened in that time frame in my life and the way that it impacted me. And this girl said, I have experienced very similar to you, and hearing your story, I have been so angry and so distant from God and not believing that there is a God that cares. But hearing and meeting you today, restored that for me. And I want to thank you and God bless you.
That is just the way to end. That's the way. That's the crescendo. Thank you so much, Pam, for being the guest and bringing to our mind these women and your story, too.
Thank you.
It's worth knowing.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to Women Worth Knowing with Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn. For more information on Cheryl, visit CherylBroderson.com or follow her on Instagram or Facebook. For more information on Robin, visit RobinGunn.com or follow her on Instagram or Facebook. Join us each week for a lively conversation as we explore the lives of well-known and not-so-well-known historical and contemporary Christian women. We hope you've enjoyed today's episode. Make sure you rate us on your podcast app, subscribe, and share it with a friend. Thank you again for listening to Women Worth Knowing with Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn.